February 26, 2016, at 9:37 a.m. at the Regulation and Licensing Building in 5500 San Antonio Drive, Northeast Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87109. Can we have a roll call, please?
Chairman Naki?
Here.
Vice Chair Christensen? Member Erickson?
Here.
Member Hoover? Member Keir?
Here.
Member Saris?
Here.
On the agenda, can we get a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for December 11, 2015. Is there a motion to approve the minutes from the... Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Who was first?
Matthew, were you first?
It was Matthew.
On the agenda?
Yes.
No.
On the minutes?
In the minutes, no.
I'm second.
I'll first.
Okay,
we're good. Good job.
Jump right in.
Thank you. Okay, next on the agenda, public comments. Mr. Mark Duran.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Members of the committee.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Good morning. I always feel obligated to make some public comments here. That's what I should. I guess I don't have that much to publicly comment on, other than I guess I'll say that we just completed a New Mexico legislative session, as you know. One of the things that stood out to me is the fact of how difficult revenues are in the state of New Mexico, primarily because of our dependence on the Permian Basin, and we all know what is happening with oil. I think that you could get lulled into just thinking that that's somehow a state situation and a bigger picture, and hopefully it's a one-off year. But the fact is, we all understand how that transcends budgets, personnel, oftentimes performance, and things like that. And so I think that what we should all be looking at and understanding is less money means more pressure on divisions like the Manufactured Housing Division and Construction Industries Division, and a prolonged effect of not having enough money in the state will then erode a number of different things that are eventually leads to performance issues on their end and then on the industry end. So we don't take that lightly. I think something to be aware of, and I know the division is aware of it, probably already planning, already anticipating for next year, et cetera. One of the things, as I watched the legislative session, and we watch these things very closely, and that is all budget items related to the Manufactured Housing Division and the Construction Industries Division. One of the things that stood out to us was the Financial Institutions Division requesting more money and receiving more money to enforce the Dodd-Frank Act. And so one of the things that you may be aware of or not aware of, and that is in the Dodd-Frank Act, which regulated mostly what lenders could do or not to do after the recession of 2008, one of the things that it did to impact the manufactured housing industry is to say that our retailers could not act as mortgage loan originators, MLOs. And we're not MLOs, we're not mortgage loan originators, but one of the things that said about manufactured home retailers is that we could not steer a lending product to a customer or vice versa. And as a result, what it has done, it is quite frankly limited our ability to help our customers buy manufactured homes, because we're not able to even in an ancillary way have any sort of conversations with our customers about their potential to qualify for a loan or having qualified for a loan previously, etc. And so when a customer walks into our retail dealership, what they have is a table with loan products on it. And all our retailers can do is to say, we can't talk to you. We can't even answer the question as to which lenders would help me qualify for a veteran's loan. We can't even answer that question. All we can do is say, there's a table with loan products on it, and you're going to have to go through all those lenders, and you're eventually going to have to figure out who could help you with a veteran's loan. The unfortunate part of that is that you can then walk down the street and talk to any realtor in the state of New Mexico or across the country, and you can ask them the very same question, and that realtor can give you the answer right off the bat. But Dodd-Frank says that manufactured home retailers can't have that same conversation with our customers. It's the very reason that we are trying to pass national legislation called the Preserving Access to Manufactured Housing Act nationally, where we are trying to get that changed, where we are asking the CFPB to not qualify us as an MLO or a mortgage loan originator for that very fact. And so when we see that the Financial Institutions Division is requesting money to further enforce, and they've already been enforcing aspects of Dodd-Frank, it's one of the things that we become concerned about. We don't blame them for doing their job. It will make us be even sharper as we work with our retailers in regards to this process. But it is even more impetus for us to get this inequity changed at the national level, quite frankly, because it is an inequity, because along the way they've decided to treat manufactured home retailers differently from real estate agents, which is really unfair to our industry. And so many different aspects of the legislative session, lots of things happening in regard to the industry. I will say that manufactured housing nationally and in the state, we seem to very much be holding our own. And it used to be that we compared to manufacturers and retailers within our own industry when we made those characterizations. Quite frankly, what we compare that to now is to site-built housing. And it very much feels like still from the effects of that 2008 recession, we have come off that recession probably in a little bit better shape than our sister industry in site-built housing, although we still very, very much both have our challenges and could still very much go through ups and downs. And many of that, again, is related to lending and our lending opportunities. And then that connects back, quite frankly, in many aspects to Dodd-Frank. So that's just all I would impart to you today as I give you a little piece of our industry and what we're working on and thinking about at every one of your meetings. And if you have any questions for me, I'd be happy to answer them. So with that, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, sir.
We're ready to proceed. Next on the agenda, new business, the MHC open meeting resolution. We have to approve it, right?
Madam Chair, members, this is a standard form that all the boards are using, and it is a requirement under the Open Meetings Act that boards and commissions and other public bodies subject to the Act annually adopt such a resolution. It just sets forth what your policy is with respect to some of this public notice of meetings.
The only thing I noticed is that we've changed the meetings to Wednesday instead of Friday. And that's why I'm being honest.
Do you want to still keep on Fridays? Would it be easier for you?
I'm open either way. Fridays are probably going to do so, but Wednesdays are fine.
Fridays, what?
Fridays, can we take that?
I did not put that in, but whatever the board chooses.
Do you want to stick with Fridays if it's easier for everybody?
Stay on the second Friday of each month for the calendar?
Correct.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
Just a comment. We went through the same process with the commission for construction industries. I think this was used for that. So in the very first sentence, I think we changed that to...
Yeah.
I know here and after, and as a committee, follow up on that throughout the document. And I believe that's why it references the Wednesdays. So instead of the Fridays, because it was just use the same Open Meeting Act, because the bulk of it is exactly the same. But we need to change the nomenclature here to it so it matches the committee instead of commission, and then change that.
The website also.
The website.
It's like there's
correct
those things.
So can we?
So we can just modify those.
Yeah, you can amend, make those changes.
Okay.
Approve it, direct your staff to make those changes.
Change the mentions. Yes.
That's very unusual. Well, I'll see what we can do.
I'm sorry. Okay. So. So, is there a motion to approve this with the amendments? The taking of the dates and correct?
Make the motion.
They just copy it from the other one, the other commission.
CRB.
Was it on change?
That's the only thing that we saw.
Mexico construction industries.
Yep.
Make the motion that we accept the open meeting resolution with the exceptions of changing the verbiage to manufactured housing division committee throughout, and the meeting dates to be at 9:30 a.m. on the second Friday of every other month.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next on the agenda, director's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the Chair Notke and members of the Manufactured Housing Committee, thank you for the opportunity to report to you this morning the events that have happened in MHD since our last meeting in December. As we move into the new year, 2016, MHD continues to better the efficiency of the agency in regards to permitting and inspections. Towards that goal, we've been working closely with Mr. Chris Starris, plant manager for Carson Homes, to begin moving forward and utilizing third-party inspectors for the HUD manufactured home product. We feel that this will be a move that will be better, that will better the efficiency from both the Carson plant's perspective as well as MHD's perspective. And once implemented, the plant will no longer have to rely on the schedule of MHD inspectors that at times are not readily available, causing production to be slowed down in the plant. On the MHD side, it allows our inspectors to concentrate more on the scheduled field inspections and hopefully make our field inspections timely. On another note, as you know, the 2016 legislative session ended February 18th, and to my knowledge, there was no new legislation introduced that affected MHD. I appreciate Mr. Durant's comments and some of the issues he pointed out that are happening nationally.
The majority of the discussions were had to do with budget. Superintendent Unthank and myself have really been working closely with the administration in regards to the budget. We are fortunate, both in MHD and CID, that the budget that was requested and kept us at a flat budget was approved. And so the cuts that were pretty minimum that were received in both CID and MHD. One of the issues is the idea of hiring and those kind of things to stay well within the budget that we've been provided for this for 2016 and 2017. We both have been working with the administration, as I said earlier, to express upon them the issue of essential employees, which the inspectors for both divisions fall under. And I think they're working very well with us now to ensure that we can continue to keep hiring inspectors in both agencies because that personnel is extremely essential, as is police and other people that the state will continue to hire. So they're on board with that resolution, and we continue to be able to hire and advertise through SPO and work with DFA in making sure that we're covered from an inspection standpoint. So that's the good news. With that, I'll stand for any questions that you might have.
Mr. Dryden.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, and I appreciate being able to have sort of this dialogue. I could have separately had it with the division director. Happy to have it here, and it's all open discussion. But one of the things that now is occurring with the budget, being as tough as it is, and I don't think the division director used these exact words, but it's important to understand the nomenclature that gets used between agencies and entities like the governor's office, and that is, and that's the term vacancy savings. And that is, you have a bunch of positions, right? And one of them is open, and so you don't fill the position, and you consider that as vacancy savings. And so you sort of make money by not filling the position that's budgeted because you got money for that budgeted position, in a sense. And so I appreciate the fact that now the conversation is taking place. What are your essential employees? And so that if it's an essential employee, you get to fill that position, and we're not going to keep any of those positions open so as to take advantage of vacancy savings. And so I appreciate then the report and then the nomenclature, but just to be clear, when the division reported, and this is a question to the division director, when the division reported to the governor's office that all MHD positions are essential positions, that is the same as saying that every one of our positions, including the open positions at MHD, are going to be able to be filled, and none are going to go in the category of vacancy savings. Is that correct?
Mr. Duran, members of the committee and chairperson, I don't think you can say all positions, because there are some, maybe support staff, that we might have in the office, some things like that aren't as essential or as a high priority in the minds of the administration to be hired. We are needing a manager at this time in the Las Cruces office, and that position as well has been described as essential. Therefore, we need to hire that person. They're allowing us to advertise for that person as well as any inspector. So, when we're talking about inspectors, that's what I think. Yes, that is all of those are able to continue on. But I've got in CID, and I know this isn't CID, but in CID there are other positions that need to be filled that would make our life better and give better customer service. Those probably will not be filled. They're not as a high priority, even in my mind, as the inspections or the inspectors. So they're first on the list. That's the point. When I came to work, we had a, 2 years ago, there was a 22% vacancy rate in CID MHD. They told me that I had to maintain a 12% vacancy rate. I'm at about 11 to between 8. If I fill the positions that have been listed now and that we're in the process of filling, I'm going to be closer to an 8% vacancy rate. So, and then we make other adjustments in the budget to counteract those. So I'm doing better than, from my standpoint, from filling positions, than what I've been told to do. And I ask for forgiveness sometimes instead of permission. And so that's the way it works. but believe me, both the superintendent and I have made the inspectors in both agencies the highest priority, and so far they're allowing us to continue those full speed.
And with that, Madam Chair, members of the committee, and Mr. Division Director, I think that is good news, and I think it's partially good news. But I should begin by saying that the Division Director and the Division has done a very good job filling the vacancies, because when he did first take office, there was this huge vacancy rate. And not only good that we filled the vacancies because they were needed positions, but a good thing you did it now before the budget shortfall, because now you're not going to be able to be as efficient to be able to do that. I think that what I heard is, and it's very important, that the front line of MHD inspectors are definitely essential positions. And we're going to be able to fill all of those positions. But what is also important to MHD, and very important to MHD because we're such a small entity, is the amount of support staff that supports the inspectors in the office and from a field perspective. Now, one of the things that is very difficult to do, and we feel the brunt of, quite frankly, is with sort of the merged divisions of CID and MHD, we know what happens, and it's always happened, and that is the siphoning off of resources from the bigger entity that is CID to MHD. Well, that happens naturally, even in good budget years. The concern is that in lean budget years, that's going to happen more so, because that pool of resources is going to be pooled to CID, or where there's more positions to have vacancy savings of, or to save money, is going to be where there's more positions in that CID. The more that happens on CID, we should all understand, the more that affects MHD. Because there's no line now as much between the two. And so one of the things that we'll be emphasizing as we continue to work with the division is that the inspectors on the front line are important to keep, but the support staff is also very, very important. That's the people that are calling into the office. Those are the people who are following up on permits, those sort of things, who are supporting and augmenting in many ways what we do as a business, but also those inspectors in the field. And I'm not saying that no one is doing a good job or anything like that. I bet the division director is doing the best job he can. It will be our job to continue to emphasize the need of those resources for the Manufactured Housing Division as a separate entity, which is the manufactured housing industry versus the construction industry. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, I follow up on that. I appreciate those comments, but I really am very diligent in setting up the budgets to have them separate line items, everything within the budget. That MHD has their budget, CID has its budget, and we've been able to do that much more effectively than was done in the past, because I now have a financial manager that polices that constantly. We're tracking the income that we receive from HUD much more closely than it's ever been tracked before, because that money comes in and is exclusive to MHD. No one else can touch that, but we can spend it for day-to-day operations. and we do, to help the budget for MHD. So we're very diligently making sure that that kind of back and forth borrowing isn't taking place. That's another concept and reason for moving towards the third-party inspectors on the HUD product, because now the inspectors that I need in the field will be totally in the field. And again, it helps both sides because they're not dependent on inspectors that are in the field, leaving that responsibility and coming in to be a very important responsibility, so the production didn't slow down in the field. So that's another reason. It makes our inspectors that we do have more efficient than they have been even in the past. So I'm very cognizant of the concern Mr. Durant has raised, but we are watching that very close. Thank you.
If I could then follow up, that's great. And please understand, Madam Chair, member of the committee, the division director and I have these conversations all the time. There's nothing unique about us having to have it publicly here. It just happens to be a good time, and you might as well hear it. We too are and have been advocating and working very much on the implant inspectors being able to be freed up to come into the field. So that is going to be a positive. But just to follow up, I'm glad to hear now that there is no distinction, no merging of MHD and CID resources. That's great. So then I could ask the direct question, and that is, we know that inspectors are essential employees and that we're going to be able to fill all those positions. Are there any non-inspector positions in MHD that we are not going to be able to fill as a result of the budget situation?
Mr. Durant, I'm not aware. Do you have any other positions that are really that critical, other than the manager that we need for the Las Cruces office, which works both as a manager for both CID and MHD? They're allowing us to hire that position.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Mr. Durant, currently MHD only has two vacancies. One is a supervisor for the South region, and then another vacancy is for an inspector. That's the only vacancies we have at this time.
And you're able to fill those?
We're in the process of advertising for the Southern Chief Inspector, and then the other one we haven't submitted anything for him this time.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I thought I had heard that maybe some support staff would be cut back, but it doesn't sound like it would. Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda, administrator report.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. On Thursday, February 4th, HUD held a conference with all IFIAs to discuss the new rule of the on-site completion of construction of manufactured homes and the implementation for all parties responsible. With this, there's going to be a lot of responsibilities on manufacturers and retailers on the completion that takes out on the site, and then the manufacturer's IFIA or a third-party IFIA will be responsible for inspecting that on-site construction. So that's going to be separate from a setup, New Mexico setup inspection. So you're going to have two separations. The IPIA will then provide a report for the retailer, the manufacturer. Once that report is received by those parties, then you can forward that to us and request your inspection for your setup. So we're going to start doing some training and probably some webinars to inform all parties in New Mexico what the requirement is, so there's no confusion. So it's going to put more burden. If the manufacturer and the retailer decide to go that route, there's going to be some additional steps required.
By the installer?
No, by the manufacturer and the retailer, mm-hmm. Where the manufacturer will have to send out their IFIA inspector to inspect that portion of it, sign off, and get that document to us so we can move with our setup inspection.
What does on-site construction entail?
They're breaking it down to additional items on site, maybe a bathtub, jacuzzi shower that's not installed, and we want to do it on site, some additional walls, different items that are not done in a plant because of transportation. And it also expedites them, a manufacturer having to get an AC letter. An AC letter is very difficult to get, sometimes takes months, maybe years. You might want to shed a light on this, Chris. So they're trying to expedite all these AC letters by allowing manufacturers to do this on-site completion. It's not going to happen all the time, but if you have a unique situation, the manufacturer will notify you of the on-site completion.
From a HUD standpoint, we have the factories have to build a house complete.
Correct.
And I think that as the industry grows, there's a lot more things happening beyond the factory. And probably a caution of those things on getting done properly, hinged roofs and some assembly that happens beyond the factory. That is probably the driving force between the chain on a change. So what that means for the factory is the inspection in the factory is now coordinated on some of these oddball items with the field inspection to verify it's been done completely.
Here's another good example, Madam Chair, members of the committee. The director was just bringing up. Some of these manufactured homes have, as you well know, their garage ready. Sometimes the manufacturer can't get the proper door for the fire lane. So they'll ship it with a regular door. Their door's on order. It gets to the site a week later. It's installed on site. They can use this new process versus having to go to HUD, get an AC letter that might take months or a year, and it just expedites things from a manufacturer standpoint.
This is not going to stop an inspection. Let's say like the house is done, and we're waiting for this door or whatever. It's not going to stop the installer getting his inspection. That's what I just heard.
Yes. If the IPIA hasn't certified that completion, yes, it would.
Yes.
Okay. So the real goal would be, if we know there's a garage that's going to be added in the field, go ahead and get that door installed, the proper frame, hinges, rating in the plan, and ship it that way. And only did that with this, but it's otherwise, then you are into the delay. But at least it's been ordered, and they know they're going to do it on site when they get there.
The factories don't want to encourage it, right? So they're going to do what they can to make it easier for the field to eliminate these steps, right?
And then the manufacturer will be working closely with their DAPIAs. Their DAPIAs will create a checklist, item by item, and detail instructions of the completion for that portion, and everybody will follow that. So once we're doing our setup inspection, we're not looking at that additional stuff. And the IPIA has already inspected that. Our folks will only look at the setup and move on and we're going to give them training. We're going to give inspectors training so they understand this is what we're doing. We're still doing the setup. That other portion will be done by the manufacturer's IP. At this time, I need staff to answer any questions.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is the executive session. Is there a motion to close this meeting and enter into an executive session?
I'll move that to close the meeting and I move that the meeting of the Manufactured Housing Committee be closed while the committee members enter into executive sessions to discuss the cases listed under agenda items 8A, 1 through 6, 8B, 1 through 4, and 8C, 1 and 2, pursuant to NMSA 1978, sections 10-15-1, H, 1 and 3. Such discussions pertain to the issuance, suspension, renewal, or revocation of licenses and deliberations on pending administrative adjudicatory proceeding.
I second the motion.
All in favor? We need a roll call. Sam?
Member Kier?
Yes.
Member Naki?
Yes.
Member Erickson?
Here.
Member Astarris?
The motion is approved. Let the record show that the committee entered to executive session at 10:12 a.m. May we have the recorder on, please? Okay, let the record show that the recorder is back on. The Manufactured Housing Committee is back in open session at 11:24 a.m. And during the executive session, I affirm that the committee members received and discussed only the items listed on the agenda under executive session as specified in the motion to enter an executive session. Now we're going to discuss and move on.
Under disciplinary matters, section A, case number 81-1402-26-MHD. We dismiss.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Case number 381-1409-08-MHD. Dismiss.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
44-15-0203-MHD. Dismiss.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
133-15-04-27-MHD. Dismiss.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
168-15-06-12-MHD. Dismiss.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. 237-15-07-31-MHD. Dismiss.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Under section B, I'd like to move that we issue an NCA for 213-15-07-21-MHD.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Under, I'd like to also move we issue an NCA for 214-15-07-21-MHD.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I also move we issue an NCA for 319-150921-MH.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No, it's probably good.
Okay.
And I'd also like to move we issue an NCA for 372-1511-16-MH.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, section C, 48113-11-01-MHD, Southwest Plumbing. This item's been tabled to the next meeting.
Anybody second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Bosky Mobile Home, 12-02-22. This item has been referred to the Consumer Protection Division.
Can I turn to General's office?
I'm going to turn to General's office.
Is there a second?
There's no action.
The next on the agenda is the next regular scheduled meeting, April 8th, 2016, 9:30 a.m. Construction Industry Office at 5500 San Antonio Drive Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87109, main conference room.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
We all in favor?
Aye. Aye, aye, aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
Time?
7:26.
The deposit refund, and the issue was where people were